Our scripture is taken from the New Testament, Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Chapter 1, amen. There's a fan of Ephesians in the back row, I can see, that's great. One of my favorite letters also. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Yeah, if you find chapter 15 in Ephesians, turn in your Bible immediately, okay? The first chapter of Ephesians, verses 15 through 23. This scripture passage is entitled Paul's Prayer. Now, the two sections right before this, and they at the beginning of this letter, are entitled Spiritual Blessings in Christ and then a Salutation. And it was interesting because Paul didn't always enter into a prayer immediately as he was writing to the early churches. But here, God was flowing in him and bubbling up out of him that he couldn't contain these words of prayer. He wrote them down, and we remember them and share them once again to the modern church. And we are the modern church, and we are modern day disciples. So hear this prayer that is also offered for each and every one here. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading of the words of truth that can be trusted, given for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join with me in an attitude of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for these words that are not only written to the early church, they are offered once again to your modern church. In this very place, in Yuma, Arizona, at Gila Mountain, help us to hear them. Help us to be inspired by them. Help us to point others towards Christ in all that we do and say. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody else now that you haven't looked at yet today. Go ahead and look at them. This is going to take about 20 seconds. I see one brother turning all the way around in his seat. That's excellent. Very good. Don't hurt your neck, but go ahead and look at somebody and offer them this simple question. Who's your daddy? You can say that with emphasis. Who's your daddy? Some, you know what? These three back here are like the Trinity. They all went, yeah, very good. Excellent. I assume that you were pointing to God, not giving me a signal. Okay, fantastic. Excellent. Yeah. That's one of those phrases that was very popular a few years ago when Toby Keith had that country song by the same name. Any country fans here? Maybe you even sang that in karaoke. I know some of you like to do karaoke. And you were singing that. But who's your daddy refers to something else altogether. It's referring to who's the boss, who's in charge. And in some households, we know exactly who's in charge. No question about it. No question about it. But in our lives as Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, if we use that name, if it's something more than inspiring us to put a fish symbol on our car, if it's something that inspires us to live it and speak it in all that we do and say, then we understand who's in charge in our lives. And it is God, our Heavenly Father, Abba, Papa. Who has God brought into glory? Who has God exalted above every other name? Who has God lifted up above every other idol, above any other person that would claim greatness? Who has God lifted up to head the church, but to be in charge of all things, to be Lord of all? Jesus Christ. That's not a test to see if you can stay in worship or not. Rather, that's simply a question that we are called to have at the forefront of our lives. Who is lifted up as Lord of all? Jesus Christ. When we claim that name, it's not simply something that we throw out there without any meaning. When we claim the name of Christian, what we're saying is we owe allegiance in what we do and say to Christ, who is the head of our church. There are all sorts of lists out there. The greatest this, the greatest that, the greatest quarterback in NFL history, the greatest relief pitcher, the greatest baseball player, the greatest fan. We have some of them sitting right now, in the top 10 at least, over in the Vasher section this morning. Some of the greatest fans ever in AWC history. But even beyond that, the greatest, those lists, you've probably seen those, they rank things. And we get caught up in that. And there are all sorts of disagreements and arguments over that. The greatest movie of all time. All sorts of debates. The greatest, Muhammad Ali. Joe Frazier, I understand, just passed away last week, actually. Somebody that had epic bouts with him. The greatest, that term that we throw around, and it becomes very empty. And whenever we say, boy, I'm just great, we wonder if we really mean it. And the person who hears it wonders kind of why we throw around such a term as well. Well, the one who is truly great, and the one who is truly at the top of any list of greatness, and the one who needs to be exalted above all, is... Okay, some more people answered on that one. Very good. Jesus Christ. That's the one. That is the only one at the top of our list. I was reading a critique of a book that came out a number of years ago. And the title of it is The Three Christs of... Now, this is a town in Michigan. And it begins with Y and ends with C. Is it Ypsilanti or Ypsilanti? Ypsilanti, okay. You know, some of you come from different parts of the country that I think you're making up some of these names, honest to goodness, of towns. Some of these names, you're just kind of throwing them out to see if you can actually get me to spit whenever I say it. Well, I just did right there. The Three Christs of Ypsilanti. And the story behind that is the story of a psychiatrist who was dealing with three individuals, patients, in a psychiatric hospital who claimed to be who? Jesus Christ. The story of how he talked to them, how he counseled them, how he spoke to them is one that became well known, and it's becoming revisited once again in this sermon this morning because there are those who would lift them up, lift themselves up above Christ. And there are those who would exalt themselves to a higher position that would make the story about them. They would make worship about them. They would make church about themselves rather than about Jesus Christ and what God did for us through Christ. Christ is superior to all earthly powers. Christ as Lord reminds us that the world's redemption then places Christ at the very center. You know, I hear comments from individuals that say to me, well, maybe there's another path. Maybe there's another way to God. And what I share with them is that if that is the case, that might be something that becomes true for you. But for me, as a Christian, there is only one way to salvation. And there is only one way to God. And that is through... Okay, a few more in this section. Good job. For me, we were reading from Joshua a few Sundays ago, and it said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, Christ is the head. And whenever he is Lord, that means that that is the one that we serve, and that is the one that we seek to follow in developing a deeper and deeper relationship with God. Irenaeus, who is the bishop of Lyons, I don't think that's in Michigan, but it's over in Europe, emphasizes the salvific mediating work of the incarnation itself, God present through Jesus Christ, of the life and obedience of the human Christ as Lord and merciful lover of the human race. I love that term for Jesus. As Lord and merciful lover of the human race, Christ consummates, in other words, Christ gathers, restores, completes, fulfills, and perfects all things in his own humanity. The lordship of Jesus Christ, you see, ushers in an age of communal witness. That means we are all in this together. And Christ remains the head over all things for the church. That is a term that is used oftentimes to communicate leadership, to communicate the one who is in charge, in control. Christ is head over all the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the presence of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ, doing the work of Christ, and yet Christ continues to be our head. We continue to learn from him, but he continues to redeem us. He continues to remind us of our value as defined by God, not by the world or humanity, but by God alone. And he does that because we have that saving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, through Christ. Amen? Who do we have that saving relationship with God through? Oh, now you're cooking. Now you're cooking. Bless me with that. Psalm 110 offers us these words. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends out from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your foes. Your people will offer themselves willingly on the day you lead your forces on the holy mountains. From the womb of the morning, like dew, isn't that beautiful? Your youth will come to you. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter heads over the wide earth. He will drink from the stream by the path. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Christ's dominion over the world is focused on and exists for the benefit of the church. And who is the church? We are. We are. The word church, ecclesia, actually appears for the first time in Ephesians. That's why the image of Christ over the church and head of the church is such a key element in this passage that we hear this morning. And yet Paul prays. And what Paul offers here is a prayer. Is it easy being the body of Christ in the world today? No. Is it easy to remember who is our head, who's actually in charge? Are distractions coming at us all the time? Could it be a distraction of some bald guy who's driving by you, waving at you, and you don't even know who it is? You're like going like this. Who is that? Who is that? All sorts of distractions. Important ones, small ones, things that take us away from who we are called to be. And yet we understand that the distractions, the challenges in being the church, none of these things can defeat God, shackle his Christ, or enslave his church. Amen? Christ Jesus occupies the heavenly throne right now. Right now, at this very moment, he occupies that throne. And so, even now, in spite of all temptation to surrender, to just throw up our arms, when things get difficult, when people are doing things that are deceitful, when we deal with hurt in our lives, when things come at us from the world, when there's illness, when our families are broken, throughout all of those things, while we might be tempted to surrender, Christians still trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is on the throne now and the one who will be on the throne forever and ever. Amen. This is Christ the King Sunday, the reign of Christ Sunday. And it's always also the very last Sunday after Pentecost. I know all of you were keeping track of that diligently. Christ the King Sunday reminds us to also prepare our hearts for Advent, for the coming of God into our lives in a new way. Christ is on the throne. That does not change. The way to God, the salvific way, the way of salvation is through Christ. That doesn't change either. But how is God going to speak a new thing into your hearts, into your minds, into your souls? How is God going to be churning in you in a way that will provide strength and encouragement and peace and love? That, my friends, is why we celebrate as Christ the King today. That, my friends, is why we are mindful that Christ is still in charge in our church, and that means Gila Mountain Church as well. And that, my friends, is why we come into this Advent season expectant, knowing that since Christ is Lord, He is on the throne, that means nothing can stand between God's grace working in us and His love changing us. Who is our Lord? That same Christ, that same one who is truly the greatest, who is truly in charge, who we are called to allow guide things here in this church, who has been given to us by our Father, God, is the one who is at work right now. With that in mind, I invite you, as you hear the music play, and as we enter into a time of renewing our discipleship and renewing that saving relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, take a few moments right now before we offer our words of discipleship and just offer yourself once again. As you hear this music, just simply say, Lord, Christ is my head. He is on the throne, and I understand that. So help me to trust in how He leads me. Join with me in prayer now.